Sure I am that this day, now, we are the masters of our fate. That the task which has been set us is not above our strength. That its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not all the tidings will be evil. On the contrary, mighty strokes of war have already been dealt against the enemy. Wounds have been inflicted, which have bitten deep and will fester and inflame. What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? Here we are, together, facing a group of mighty foes who seek our ruin. Here we are, together, defending all that to free men is dear. If we had taken common measures for our safety, this renewal of the curse need never have fallen upon us. Do we not owe it to ourselves, to our children, to tormented mankind, to make sure that these catastrophes do not engulf us? It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
Greetings, Jeff.
Thank you, Dave. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late great Edinburgh back in the 1770s, and I think he was Prime Minister back at the time. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. No hostages, no peace. Dave Milner, the unpleasant blind guy. 2023. With that, let me pass it over to my friend and my colleague from across the pond in the great Vermont in the US of A, and to all our good friends out there and across the globe, wherever you might be. Back to you, Dave. Bless you, brother.
Bless you, Jeff, and thank you, sir. Now, We are, of course, podcasting live at blogtalkradio.com, and we do this every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K., and that is 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. We are also podcasting live at the TECN.TV radio page. If you want the best in urban Christian conservative news, talk, and entertainment, go to TECN.TV, and you will find it there with many good hosts and a lot of good stuff for you to look at and listen to. Now, if you want to get into the chat for this program and talk to Jeff during the times that we're podcasting, go to blogtalkradio.com, look for the white top center search box, type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio, follow the links, and if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and have a talk with Jeff while I burp. All right, guys. Now, Jeff, do we have anybody in the chat right now?
No, we don't. Not this moment, Dave, but, you know, I've normally been there having a glass of martini with my friends. It's called shaken and not stirred, Dave. But unfortunately, there's no one there to have a drink with. So, not for the moment, Dave. It's all fun in the green room, as you know, Dave. Back to you, brother.
Yeah, well, not too much fooling around between you and Miss Moneypenny, all right? We need you for the whole show. Don't sap your strength, all right? We've got a few things to talk about. And the major thing that occurred yesterday was, of course, the demonstration to show part five of Tommy Robinson's documentary, The Rape of Britain. Now, what happened at this demonstration? Well, it was pretty well received. The demonstration was, of course, podcast live on Tommy Robinson's Rumble page, which you can find at the bottom of this show page here. And it was also podcast on YouTube and other places. Now, what went on was that at first there was quite a bit of noise because the police had decided to place a bunch of Hamas supporters right next to the people coming to see the documentary. But there was no real trouble. There was like one arrest, and this was someone that the stewards were on the verge of removing anyway. So that was about all that happened with that. The show was presented, and the audience liked it quite a bit. From my perspective, Jeff, I saw from maybe a low of maybe 600 people to a little more, a little more than 1,000 people. So it was a pretty good crowd for a January when things are kind of chilly. And he had quite a few online viewers of the demonstration. I noticed that in his Rumble podcast of the demonstration, he went from a low of maybe 1,800 to a high of over 2,000 viewers. And you couple that with what he was able, I'm sure, to do on Urban Scoop and YouTube and other places. Yeah, he had a pretty good amount of people looking at this and checking it out. Now, for a little bit of a programming note for everyone before I turn it back over to Jeff, what we're going to try to do is I'm going to try to take what recordings of the demonstration before and after the documentary, and I'm going to try and drop the documentary right into the middle of it. But the documentary at the demonstration was, of course, being played over their PA system, and it certainly does not sound good for a program of this type. So what I want to do is get the documentary when Tommy releases it and take that with better audio, drop that right in the middle, and next week and possibly the week after that, we will bring you guys the entire thing. But we want to do it right. And I think that what we're going to be doing is something pretty unique that not a lot of other people are going to be doing. So you'll have that to look forward to. In the meantime, we do have some other things. And I want to throw it back over to Jeff. Buddy, Jeff, to see if there's any comments from you before we begin with our first item.
Yeah, well, I was quite pleased to know that there was good numbers there. So it was a cold day, but it shows people will travel miles and miles for the truth. They get fed up of the mainstream media trying to cancel everybody and blanket out that there's something's going on. Unfortunately for the mainstream media, you get the real truth, the real news, from when, you know, when we do this show on a Sunday, you're getting the truth straight up. That is the way it is, the way we see it, not the way that they want to spin it, because they are the evil ones. You've got to look at it that way. You know, we're on the right side of everything, and because they don't like the truth, of course, it upsets them. Tough. We will speak the truth like we do week in, week out. It's what we do. And that loads of people like Tommy, who's go the extra step and takes all the flack that comes his way, will continue, because it's just like a calling, ladies and gentlemen. You have a path you walk through, and it doesn't matter how rough it gets, how many times you're manhandled or attacked. Certain people have got that ability to run with whatever and, you know, and come out the other side. And that's the sort of person that Mr. Tommy Robinson is. And bless him, and bless everybody that stands up against the injustices that goes on within this country and many other countries across the world. And we all know it. We all feel it. We know there's a two-tier system. And even the United States, people here have been saying, there's a two-tier system going on here, injustice. And we all feel it, don't we, Dave? And I'd like to pass it back to you, brother.
Well, you're right, Jeff. And the fact is, this is something that really made me join up with you in the first place, about 11-ish or whatever years ago. Because I could see that this stuff was going to come, and it was going to come to the shores of the United States, and now it's in our faces over here. So, yeah, same thing's going on here. But you were speaking of the kind of flack that Tommy Robinson takes, and this here that I'm about to play comes from Rebel Media. Ezra Levant did an interview with Tommy Robinson after he came out of the Westminster Court, I believe it was, and this was something that we alluded to last week, and of course we always like to follow up. So I'm going to go ahead and play this interview that he did. This will give you guys some kind of an idea of the kind of flack that Tommy Robinson has to take, and then yeah, we'll have comments afterwards.
Sorry, Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to let you know before you start playing it that Bigfoot has joined, and he's saying hi, Jeff and Agador. So there you go, brother. We've got Bigfoot joining. I'm sorry to break in just as you're about to continue, but over to you, brother.
All right. Bigfoot's place.blogspot.com is where you go to get Bigfoot's blog, and I want to welcome Biggie to the program. Now, as I was saying, this one is just under 6 minutes long. This is Ezra Levant of Rebel Media interviewing Tommy Robinson after he came out of court and got his decision vis-a-vis his being banned from the City of London. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Tommy, I did a full show about your court hearing. It's going to be on my show tonight, but just for the folks on Twitter, what the hell just happened in there? What was that guy from the Evening Standard newspaper doing? I have never seen anything like it.
So I've gone into court. I've wrote my address down. Obviously, a threat to my life. People are aware of that. I've wrote my address down. The judge has my address. They've then argued that they want the address read out in public court. So then it's in public court. So then they can report. So when they do their report, they say Stephen Lennon of and give my exact address. That's what they're arguing.
Your address is not in the public interest. Nothing turns on it. There was no crime committed there. The police know where you live. The judge knows where you live. The lawyers know where you live. But this judge, this reporter,
the judge ruled you have to now read out your address.
But what was crazy is this journalist just stood up and argued for 5 minutes that he has the right to let
my address. And it's not like they don't. It's not like they're not aware there's threats to my life. And I said, that's why I stood up when the judge said, read your address. I said, you want me to read out and endanger my family?
Like, the judge knows the answer.
Yeah, and she's got it in front of her. So again, this case is nothing to do with a dispersal order. This case, that incident there is nothing to do with justice. It's to do with damaging me, to endangering me. It's to do with an attack. This is an attack on freedom of speech. It's an attack on me personally. It's an attack on freedom of the press. It's total control. As I said, I have to leave. Ezra, I'm meeting someone now, yeah, who's in London to do a podcast. Yeah, Katie Hopkins. She's not, but I have to leave London. So she has to leave London. We now have to travel out of London. Otherwise, I go to jail. The whole thing's absurd.
I just want one more fact, because our viewers back in Canada and America won't know what this means. In the UK, there's a special thing called an Osman warning. When the police have an actionable, credible threat against anyone's life, they're obligated to personally hand deliver a letter saying, here's the threat to your life. Don't say we didn't tell you. You've received 12 of those hand-delivered death threats from the police.
I've received 12. My ex-wife has received 3. There's been a coordinated effort to highlight where my children live by Hope Not Hate and organisations like this. They've tried to, as I said, they live-streamed. My family had to sell their last home because it's in the film I Made Silence. They live-streamed where my family lives. This is coordinated.
Your lawyer mentioned that to the judge, mentioned that to the Evening Standard, but they wanted to, this wasn't even...
This is the first time, because every other court I've ever been to, the judge, the prosecutor says, we have no problem, we know he's in danger. The judge says, I know you're in danger, I know your address would bring trouble. It's like, it would bring the main thing I said is, they removed me from London. They gave me a dispersal from London because the organizer of the anti-Semitism rally said he'd be made to feel tense.
I don't know how one person can disperse.
They can't.
Normally you say, there's a crowd, the crowd must disperse. How does one person disperse?
They can't, and no matter what, the police had made the decision I was being arrested, even if I didn't get a chance to leave. They made the decision I was getting arrested, and the reason being, so they could give me the conditions that I've had now for 3 months, going to be 6 months, do not enter London, do not attend rallies.
You know, I'm glad you got a good lawyer. I mean, you know the saying, you need a good lawyer, but what you really need is a good judge. This woke judge, I've never seen the collusion between a judge and the regime media like this before. But
all I say, give me a jury. Give me 12 members of the British public. I've never had a trial. I'm back up again. I'm on trial 22nd, 23rd of April. It's going to be in another court in Westminster, but no jury.
So that's 5 months you're banned from the city because some left-wing hack said you made him feel tense. That's just clear two-tier policing. I'm sure a lot of people make Brits feel tense, these Hamas riders.
The demonstrations that have gone on weekly have made the whole country feel tense. Climbing up our war memorials. It's like you might cause someone distress. No, they've caused us distress, national distress, week in, week out. The whole country's under distress from what has been allowed to happen to our capital city, what's been allowed to happen to our country, all over our country. None of these conditions are being put on any Islamic radicals, any jihadists, nothing.
Well, I'm going to do my best to attend on April 22nd and April 23rd. I'm going to check to make sure I can. You know, it's been a while since I've covered your trials, really before the pandemic. I remember now how infuriating they were, because I would sit in court with all these other journalists. There's a guy from Press Association. There's a guy from the Evening Standard. There was a couple guys who didn't want to tell me their name. And I just know when I read their coverage today, it's going to be like they were watching a totally different movie than me.
Well, the problem is, you've read the police statements. They're lies. They say that I was going to escape justice and I was trying to...
There's 30 cops on you. You're handcuffed.
They say I was trying to flee. But what they do is, when it gets to trial, they'll read out those statements, or the police officers will say those things. The papers will then run, Tommy Robinson tried to attack police officer and flee, yeah? And then when I get convicted, the media will pump that. And that's what happens. Time and time again. It's a total fabrication. It's not reality. Everyone saw what I was arrested for.
Well, it's a 7-hour flight for me to come from Toronto, but I don't mind it. I sleep on the plane. We've set up a special website called TommyTrial.com. It's the website we used when we covered Tommy's earlier trial. We've revived it. I'm going to put all my videos there, and when appropriate, I'm going to put other legal documents there. I will do my best to be back in the city April 22 or 23. I don't think I have any conflicts, so I'll be here.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff.
Well, that's what I said, Dave. It's all about a two-tier system. It's all about them wanting to get Tommy. As I say, two-tier system's a little bit understated the actual situation. You know, this is where we live now. This is almost like how China is, and, you know, like the Russia of old. This is the country we live in now. It's a totally different country from what I grew up in. It's a totally different country from what Tommy grew up in. Not most of us. We see these horrible changes time after time. And it just seems to be getting more intense. But there will be a change. This is all I'm saying. Things are going to start changing. I feel it deep inside that people are waking up. There is an awareness now. They know, everybody knows the situation. We know the mainstream mainstream liars are the liars, the misconceptions of things. It's the way they spin things. People now would rather listen to people like us because we tell the truth. The truth comes easy to people who are truthful. And those that lie, they fall into their traps every time. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen them time and time again. With that, Dave, let me pass it back. We have got someone who's raised their hand a little while ago, but I'm not sure. I think I'll take this person into the green room, Dave, if you'd like to continue. Okay, bruv?
All right, Jeff, that sounds good. Yeah, this is what we in the United States of America call doxing. It's exposing someone's home address so that they can be harassed or harmed in some way. And this is something that the fake stream media here in the United States has been doing for a long time. And it is actually dangerous. And I'll give this to Ezra Levant. He called it. He said that this was collusion between the judge and the regime media. And that is exactly what happened. Because now, if Tommy Robinson wants to have a safe home for himself and for his family, he's going to have to move. This is going to cost him who knows how many thousands of pounds now to move from his home because this woke judge, yeah, judge, quote unquote, that's what I'm calling you, this woke judge, had him read out his address in court for everybody to hear and for this puke from the Evening Standard to print out so that Tommy Robinson could be harmed. That is the deal. And Jeff, who do we have on that line there, bud?
We have our dear friend Mike, all the way from Singapore.
Oh, dear.
There you go.
Okay.
So I told him what we'll be discussing, and I explained there's something we need to talk about, an event that went on yesterday, and he's all up for it. So I said, you know, we'll bring you in when at that moment. And I'm not right. Sure, should I bring Mike in now, Dave? What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I'll go ahead and play the next one, because Mike, if you're listening, I'm sure you'll have a comment about this.
Yeah.
And Jeff, before I play this one, which will last about 5 minutes or so, is there anything out of the chat first before I run this up?
Yeah. Give me a second. I'm just going. No, not at the moment, brother. Just to let you know. And, Mark, we'll get back to you as soon as we've played the next segment. Okay, brother? If you can hear me, okay. I know he can. Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
Over to you, mate.
All right, yeah. Now we're going to play this one. This is a story that has come out, and it can't be ignored. We, of course, on this program support Israel. And it looks like the United Nations got their fingers caught in the till when it came to the October 7th attacks. Yeah, so we're going to run this one. It's about 4 3/4 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
UK, Italy, Canada, Australia, and Finland halt UN agency funds over alleged involvement in October 7th terror attacks on Israel. By Kurt Sindelka on January 27, 2024. The United Kingdom, Italy, Finland, Canada, and Australia have all announced that they will suspend funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, over allegations that staff actively participated in the October 7th Hamas terror attacks on Israel. On Friday, Under Commissioner General Philippe Lazzarini that his agency has fired several staff members after receiving Israeli intelligence claiming that at least 12 UNRWA staff members participated in the Hamas terror attacks on Israel that saw the Palestinian Islamists butcher around 1,200 people, mostly civilians, and kidnap over 250 more, some of whom remain in captivity to this day. Following the revelations from Lazzarini, the Biden administration announced that it would suspend its funding towards the organization. In 2018, former President Donald Trump cut off funding entirely to the agency, which operates in Gaza, the West Bank, East Jerusalem, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria, over evidence suggesting that schools run by UNRWA were indoctrinating Palestinian schoolchildren with anti-Jewish propaganda and staff members supporting terrorism. Yet, Biden's White House reversed this decision and sent upwards of $700 million to the agency before suspending money on Friday. On Saturday, several other Western nations announced that they would also halt funding to the UN agency. The British Foreign Office said in a statement for the BBC, the UK is appalled by allegations that UNRWA staff were involved in the 7th of October attack against Israel, a heinous act of terrorism that the UK government has repeatedly condemned. The UK is temporarily pausing any future funding of UNRWA whilst we review these concerning allegations. London's announcement comes after similar decisions from Australia, Canada, Finland, and Italy. We welcome UNRWA's immediate response, including terminating contracts and launching an investigation, as well as recent announcement of a full investigation into allegations against the organization, Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong said in a statement for The Guardian. Australia will engage closely with UNRWA on investigations and is consulting with international partners. While we do this, we will temporarily pause disbursement of recently announced funding. Italian Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani wrote on X, the Italian government suspended funding for UNRWA after the atrocious attack by Hamas against Israel on 7th of October. Allied countries have recently made the same decision. We are committed to humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian population, protecting Israel's security. Finnish Minister for Foreign Trade and Development Ville Tavio said, the allegations of UNRWA staff involvement in the 7th October terrorist attacks in Israel are extremely concerning. Finland will temporarily pause funding to UNRWA and will follow the outcome of the independent investigation. Finland does not give aid that benefits Hamas. Canadian Minister for International Development Ahmed Hussein said that while Ottawa will not cut off aid to Gaza, it also has decided to suspend funding towards UNRWA, saying, Canada has temporarily paused any additional funding to UNRWA while it undertakes a thorough investigation into these allegations. Should the allegations prove to be accurate, Canada expects UNRWA to immediately act against those determined to have been involved in Hamas's terrorist attacks. For its part, the European Union has so far not made any decisions on cutting aid, saying that it will wait until findings from a full and comprehensive investigation are disclosed. An unnamed senior official from Israel told the Axios news outlet that the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, and the Shin Bet Intelligence Agency had uncovered information that UNRWA staffers actively participated in the barbaric October 7th terror attacks on Israel and that UNRWA vehicles and facilities were used during the attacks. This was strong and corroborated intelligence, the official reportedly said. A lot of the intelligence is a result of interrogations of militants who were arrested during the 7th of October attack. Follow Kurt Sindelka on X, follow at Kurt Sindelka or email to sindelka@breitbart.com.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Monthly Radio Show with host Jeff Dungeon Mitchell. And our guest that we will bring in a minute, Mike. Jeff, go right ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to be unexpected, I'm surprised there weren't more people. But then again, let's see, UNRWA, this is who they are, United Nations. You know, this is what I'm saying about the United Nations. What are they worth, though? They cause the world all sorts of problems with the way they look at things. It's just time it was disbanded. You know, that's the way I tend to look at it. They're disgusting the way that they do things, and the world kept paying them to do what they were doing, the evilness, and they was, you know, co-helping the Hamas attack Israel, the Israel citizens. So where do we go? We stand by Israel, and we think they should just ban them totally. Any sort of them organisation should be stamped out, because they're nothing but evil, and that's the way I tend to look at it. But anyway, Dave, that's all really I've got to say about it. It just makes me fuming that they've been going about doing this sort of business for such a long time, and people didn't think about that they were just doing things. And Takiya plays a big part. Al-Katiya, ladies and gentlemen, the art of lying and telling untruths. This is what comes to play. I think you would agree, Dave. Back to you before I bring Mike in.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, my brother. This is further proof that the UN is useless and is a useless waste of money. I was discussing this on Twitter / X, X-Twit, whatever you want to call it, with some people. And, you know, it's useless for everything, including peace. Part of the reason the UN was formed in the first place was to prevent large-scale war. Now, nothing like World War II has occurred since the formation of the UN, but war has continued. During its formation, while it was being formed, after it was formed, there hasn't been 1 minute of one day of 1 year that someone somewhere hasn't been at war. And what has the UN been able to do about it? Nothing. They're basically useless, and in fact, they're a danger. They're a bunch of anti-Semitic jerks. The Secretary General, Mr. Guterres, is whining now because the funds have been withdrawn. He's whining now and saying, "Oh well, no, it's so poor. The UN is so poor. We need that money." Yeah. And as I put it on Twitter, but we'll bring the mic in. I said basically, yeah, suck it, you bunch of anti-Semitic jerks. That's my view. Back to you, going to bring Mike in.
Very good point, Dave, and I agree 100% with you. With that, I'd like to bring Mike in. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike's from Singapore, and he wants to come into our round table and discuss some of the issues tonight. Mike, I hope you've been listening to what's been going on, and maybe you'd like to comment. I'm just bringing you in now, Mike. Just bear with me. I'm trying to... There you go. You should be here.
Yes, greetings from you guys from Asia, and this brother Mike. You know, regarding the comments, the earlier comments that United Nations was involved in, you know, what happened on October 7th and etc. Yes, United Nations is a useless, bloody tools for nothing. I mean, people are sitting there going picnic to each other, saying, "Hi, how are you? Let's go to eat kebab today. Tomorrow we go eat Hindi food and together, you know." It's just a bunch of, you know, people, and really they have nobody has the power except 10, 12 permanent member of the United Nations. This United Nations, of course, must be advanced to the higher entity in near future ASAP to help world peace. But today we see that NATO is already having 6 months exercise, as we already know, started until June. in June of 2024. And with the massive troops, and Russia is doing this, their own counter exercises. I mean, the world is in turmoil right now. The world is in chaos. And then, instead of, you know, the escalation, they are making escalation. So this is going to be costly for the people of the world. And right now, you know, we are very close to the, they say 90 seconds to the midnight, but actually it should say 60 seconds to midnight, because with all the things has happened since Ukraine time, war up to today, I mean, his world is much more closer to the blink of the annihilation. And so, you know, right now, United States sent atomic bomb to you guys. Is that right?
No, you got it spot on there, Mike. I'd also like to say, you talk about Russia being involved, and I think they, I'm going to speak now because I think you know, that Russia, China, all these other groups are now...
Right.
Yeah, they want to form a new... Listen to this, Dave and Mike. A new world order under their pretenses. You see, we're talking about a new world order on a globalist thing. They're talking about a new world order under their pretenses. So this is our catastrophic situation that's leading to... I would agree with you, Mike. Can we just pass it over to Dave? Because I'm sure he's got a good few points he wants to speak about that situation as well. So Dave, can I bring you in, mate, and to reflect on some of the things just been talked about?
Well, now, we talked last week about how a NATO official said that we should be prepared for the first 36 hours of war.
Yeah.
And there is a follow-up article, which I will play now. Jeff, if you'd like to check the chat to see if there's anyone in there.
Yeah, I've just done that just a second ago, Dave. It's as far as, just let me just check about it, just in case. No, it's all clear. We've got to have Bigfoot just sitting listening to the show. So go ahead, Dave, if you want to, bro.
Oh, okay, Jeff and Mike. I'm going to go ahead and play this one.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of byplay involved in this whole incident that Mike brought up last week, but I had spotted the story on it, and I gave you guys the, both Mike and I gave you guys the bare bones of the story. But I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is about 3.5 minutes. Everyone, you're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Currently, no direct or imminent threat to alliance members from Russian invasion, says NATO chief, by Oliver J.J. Lane on January 25, 2024. Contrary to alarming claims by top military officers in recent weeks, there is no direct or imminent threat to NATO nations, the alliance's head has said. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has toned down the rhetoric on future conflict, returning to the alliance standard of emphasizing the importance of deterrence to prevent war rather than making bold claims about the likelihood of approaching war. Speaking in Brussels on Tuesday as NATO signed a new deal for buying artillery ammunition to restock member states' inventories emptied by donations to Ukraine, Stoltenberg was questioned on the likelihood of Russian tanks entering a European capital city in the next decade. Stoltenberg said that while the new ammunition acquisition was both for members to be able to protect themselves and to continue to supply Ukraine, he didn't foresee Russian forces crossing into NATO territory soon. He told the room, "We don't see any direct or imminent threat against any NATO ally. The purpose of NATO's increased activity on its eastern border, vigilance, our presence, is to prevent an attack on a NATO ally," he said. Speaking of military competency and readiness as a key means of deterrence, preventing future wars, for decades the raison d'etre of NATO, Stoltenberg continued and said the alliance's task is to prevent this war from escalating to full-scale war between Russia and NATO. "And we did that by deploying more combat troops to the eastern part of the alliance, by further increasing our defense investments, and also by exercising more." The clear emphasis on deterrence comes after weeks of comments by top military figures warning in dire terms about a coming conflict. the most senior military officer in NATO, who works closely with Stoltenberg, said last week the next 20 years would not be hunky-dory and the public should be prepared to be involved in a whole-of-society event should war with Russia come. Challenged by a journalist over the extent to which comments by generals had alarmed the public and even triggered panic buying of basic survival items like flashlights and battery radios, the admiral said he welcomed such a move because the public needed to be frightened into action, saying that's great. He said, the people, they have to understand they play a role. Society is part of the solution. You need to have water, you need to have a radio on batteries. You need to have a flashlight with batteries to make sure you can survive the first 36 hours. Things like that, that's simple things, but it starts there. Those comments followed remarks by the military chief of Sweden, who said earlier this month, Russia's war against Ukraine is just a step, not an endgame. We need to realize how serious the situation really is, and that everyone, individually, need to prepare themselves mentally. The British have also been making such remarks. Defense Minister Grant Shapps has said Europe is now in a new pre-war era, warning of multiple theaters including Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea in 5 years. Those comments were picked up and developed this week by the head of the British Army, General Patrick Sanders, who said the Army needs to be ready to rapidly expand and train and equip civilians to fight. Ukraine brutally illustrates that regular armies start wars, citizen armies win them, Sanders said.
All right, and that was 3 days ago. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell, and our guest, Mike, from Singapore. Mike, since you're the guest, Jeff, hope you don't mind, we'll let you go first on comments on that one.
Yes. Regarding that, everybody else, they have their undergrounds. We don't have our undergrounds, and that's why they say this. But what it doesn't make difference, even if you have flashlight or no flashlight, or some extra food or no extra food, but everything will go to the ashes, and it's one atom bomb. It will destroy not only London, it will go up to Bournemouth. Or maybe even beyond. It will be everything into the ashes itself. Or same thing, one atom bomb in Los Angeles or Singapore will pretty much Singapore is done deal. One atom bomb. So, it's because they have their own military underground. It's okay, but for I know you guys are covered too. You guys have underground everywhere in Europe, but many places they don't. In United States, they don't. In Canada, they don't. In South America and Australia, I think also they don't have it. But, it's either way, we are doomed. Go ahead, please.
I'll if you don't mind, I'll go ahead. You made some really good valid points there, Mike. I will say that whatever comes I will live my life, however, and I'm going to enjoy it as much as I possibly can. And so should you. I won't worry so much about what's going to happen, because when it happens, it happens. As it's been said before, it'll be a flash. The people won't even know what's happened, because it'll be over and done before you can even blink your eyes. I do believe that. So why should we worry of those things? Of course, it's very concerning. I think, Mike, you've got to think, Mike, I have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Myself is my concerns and my family, same as yourself. And people like myself, we haven't got bunkers or shelters to go to, but we have survival skills. This is it. One way, if you're going to survive, you'll survive. And there's ways that you can go about it. And I think those skills better be honed, very finely tuned at this moment that we live at this moment. We've been pre-warned. I think it's quite obvious where we are heading, but I think we should live our lives on a daily basis, enjoy life as much as you possibly can, because it could be over in a flash. I'm saying that because you're my friends, and we've got to look at it in a logical way. I want to live my life until whatever happens, you know, the same as Dave, same as you, Mike. Let's try not to worry too much what's going to happen, because if it happens, it happens. That's my take. Now, thank you, Mike, for great way that you put things. And can I pass it back to Dave?
I love it. Yeah, I mean, Jeff, great commentary, and you as well, Mike. I mean, certainly we should do everything we can to avoid nuclear conflict. That's an absolute certainty. We should. And in the meantime, yes, we should live our lives as best we can, and you know, be as good as we can to other people, and in our context. Now, the only thing that I would add to that would be that there's nothing wrong with having 3 days or a week or a couple of weeks worth of extra food and long life food, mind you, and say batteries, you know, radios with batteries and flashlights with batteries. And of course, now wind-up radios and flashlights are even better because a lot of them don't need batteries, which is good. There's nothing wrong with preparing for these things because, for one thing, you have natural disasters. I know in Singapore, you guys, tsunamis are definitely a threat for you guys, and other types of volcanic eruptions and whatnot. And, of course,
you don't ring up fire,
Yeah, exactly. You guys are right there. In the UK, of course, you have weather-related issues that can hit you pretty hard. And in the United States, well, anything can happen to us. So, you know, it behooves us all to prepare, you know, prepare for a little while. It doesn't mean that we have to dig ourselves, you know, a bomb shelter or whatnot, but, you know, just to prepare, because these things can happen. And even our own government, fellas, has, God, for as long as I've known, ever since the 1970s, said that people should have on hand at least 3 days worth of food and supplies and things like that. Just like here in Vermont, where it gets cold in the winter, you know, they tell you have the food and the flashlights, radios, all that stuff, and extra blankets, because of course the power can go out, and that means there goes your heating. So there's nothing wrong with doing basically what both of you fellows have said. Number one, do what we can to make sure that our leaders around the world understand that nuclear war is a no-win scenario for anyone.
That's right.
And yeah, Mike, as you said, yeah, we're not billionaires. We don't have these, you know, elaborate, golden caves we can, you know, go down into and live for 2 or 3 years or whatever.
Bunkers,
yeah, we don't have any of that mess.
People are making bunkers left and right.
Oh See, we don't have any of that mess because we're not billionaires, you know. But in the meantime, as Jeff said, live our lives to the best quality, both for us and for other people. And store away a few days or a few weeks worth of stuff to help you out along the way. Either you fellas got any more comments before we move on to the next?
Yes.
We got something from the United States. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes. Indeed, my friends, you know, situation growing very, very dangerous in the United States because, you know, Texas has closed all the border lines for a while now for about a month. You really, nothing comes and goes. And what happened, the Supreme Court said, no, you have to cut the barbed wires and let the illegal aliens, for example, come to the United States. And what has happened in Texas, National Guard, Oklahoma, National Guard, and Colorado, they have dispatched over there to help the Texas governor to comply with its own border protections. You know, if a nation doesn't have a borderline, that nation is going to be doomed. You see, North Korea,
you're right,
or any other countries, if you put 1 inch your leg, your finger inside that country, you will be captured and sent to the FEMA camp in North Korea, for example, or XYZ country. But Here in United States, they come, they get everything, food stamps, they get medical free, they get housing free and everything. While American citizens are homeless in United States of America. And so that's the big problem. So right now, federal troops were sent into the Texas, but they have not able to go to their destination because in very border cities, there have been tanks in the streets from the Texas National Guards. So also, right now, they call themselves Army of God, 700,000 truckers from Canada, from all over the United States are headed for Texas right now. So they will be there within the next few days. And once it happens, we shall see a lot of crap is going to come out. And the question here is this a start of the Civil War II in the United States of America?
Well, let me answer that, Grant. Mike, if you don't mind, Mike, I'll answer that. Now, first of all, the Supreme Court ruling. Now, there are a lot of people in my country that think if our Supreme Court rules something, then it absolutely has to be done. And that isn't necessarily true. Not every ruling of the Supreme Court is a pearl of wisdom. I mean, there was, for instance, the Dred Scott decision, which if you read up on that it said that a man had to remain a slave even though he and his master lived in a free state. So not every one of these decisions is great and wise and good. What the people of Texas are trying to do, and those who are trying to help them, is they're trying to protect themselves because our federal government will not protect them. They will not protect the borders. And, Mike, you pointed out something that's really great. For instance, the border between Mexico and Guatemala. If you look at a picture of that, they've got a big fence there, and they have guard towers there. And yeah, if you cross illegally, you're not going to live long. The United States, and this is also a problem in the UK. Jeff will tell you this. I'll turn it over to Jeff after I'm done. We're countries along with a lot of what used to be Western European countries. They're just not protecting our borders. We're letting just anybody in, and this is a tremendous security and economic threat to us. So I applaud personally anyone who takes it in their hands to protect our borders. Now I'm going to turn it over to Jeff now. Jeff, you're coming.
Well, I agree with both of you. You know, and what comes to mind is his cell phone. Mike was talking. It's what I've talked about for a very long time, as you know, Dave, social engineering. And it's like being manufactured to create such a problem with our nations, as you know, Dave, and as myself and many other nations that have seen these people flooding through the gates. And if you look at most of them, they look all military age and the build of these people. And we know that this is all, it feels so manufactured. You couldn't write a script better than what is happening right now. Would you not agree, gentlemen? And I'd like to pass it to you, Mike. Would you agree, Mike, with that statement?
Yes, indeed. I am agree with you guys. If a nation cannot protect itself, it's better not call them the nation XYZ anymore. They should say, you know, we are open border country. Anybody can come. Any killers, murderers, rapists can come, or terrorists can come to the country, and we will take them. This is not right, and especially, you know, in England, you know, I heard something that the Palestinians were shouting one time, many times. They said, if they don't stop what is happening to Palestinians in Gaza, etc., we will make, civil war in London? What the hell these people are? You see what I'm saying? That's what happens. Because you let them in, and then they saturated everything, and now they use their laws against us. that's not right.
Well, it's almost, if you don't mind me interjecting there, Dave and Mike, but I would also say that a nation like myself, the citizens aren't allowed to be armed. So we've been put in a pretty precarious position. If it comes to it, I would say that the people of our countries and nations, well, they, as I say, with Dave and the United States, is they have, you know, most people who can be armed are armed. At least you've got that of knowing, at least you stand a chance when people come at you with, you know, these great big machine guns and rocket launchers, that you've got something to fight back with. Unfortunately, our nation hasn't got that benefit. So sadly, we'll come to a stage where we'll have to make a decision. Whether the government agrees with it or not, it's the people, for the people, that will take part in what comes in, you know, in what comes to fruit over the next, well, few months. You never know, do you guys? But Dave, let me pass it back to you. It's a really interesting conversation we're having tonight. Some very important things we're discussing, and I hope our listeners rejoin. We're just talking how you would talk if you was in the studio with us or phoning as a guest, because it affects you, it affects me, it affects Dave, it affects Mike, it affects us all. So that's why I like our platform, for people to actually make a point of how it feels to them and their families of what's going on. With that, Dave, back to you.
Okay, yeah, now...
Can I say quickly something? Religion is supposed to be cause of unity and love and peace. If religion is once to cause of thousand mass doing wrong things, it's better not to have religion. Go ahead, please.
All right, Mike. Well, you know, again, we welcome a diversity of opinion here, and you know, we can be polite about it. All right, now I'm going to switch over to something else here, fellas, because we started this program talking about the attempt on the part of the UK government and the UK press to basically cancel or just wipe out Mr. Tommy Robinson. Basically, a citizen of the UK whose one major crime is that he has tried to protect his people against representatives of a culture that think that it is all right to abuse people who do not belong to their culture. But as I also said later on, I began with Jeff, Mike, and listeners at about 11 or so years ago now, because I could see everything that was going on in the UK heading to the United States. And as I said, it is here now. So, Jeff, if you want to check in the chat, I've got one that I need to play here that is almost 3 minutes long that I think is very relevant.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Just, I looked in the chat. Looked like someone had joined us and then unjoined, if you know what I mean. So go ahead, Dave.
All right, here we go, guys. Again, this is just under 3 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here's one from the United States.
Tim Scott blasts Biden admin for flagrant violation of privacy for searching Americans' records for Trump and MAGA, by Sean Moran on January 19, 2024. Senator Tim Scott, RSC, the ranking member of the Senate Banking Committee, wrote to the Biden administration on Friday, blasting them for their alleged flagrant violation of Americans' privacy. Scott wrote his letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, Director Andrea Gacky about reports that the Treasury Department provided materials to financial institutions instructing them to search and filter Americans' banking information using politically charged terms such as Trump, MAGA, in other words. This includes terms that would indicate the legal purchase of a firearm, the purchase of religious books, and subscriptions to media containing extremist views. The South Carolina senator said that these allegations represent an improper targeting of Americans in a manner eerily similar to the Obama administration's Operation Choke Point. These allegations, if true, represent a flagrant violation of Americans' privacy and the improper targeting of U.S. citizens for exercising their constitutional rights without due process. According to recent news reports, Treasury provided materials to financial institutions instructing them to search and filter Americans' transaction-level financial data using specific keywords, search terms, and particular merchant category codes, MCC, to aid federal law enforcement in identifying persons of interest. Further, these instructions allegedly recommended financial institutions search sell payment messages for politically charged terms, such as Trump and MAGA, as well as transactions that could indicate the legal purchase of a firearm, such as transactions with the MCC for sporting and recreational goods and supplies. Federal government efforts to target individuals and entities based on their political views is a blatant and egregious violation of our Constitution. Additionally, reported actions like these disrupt confidence in federal law enforcement and raise significant questions regarding the independence of federal financial regulators. House Judiciary Committee Jim Jordan, RO, has subpoenaed Bank of America after major banks shared Americans' private banking information to the FBI without legal process in Washington, D.C., around January 6, 2021. The New York Times reported that Scott will endorse Trump at a rally in New Hampshire on Friday. Sean Moran is a policy reporter for Breitbart News. Follow him on Twitter at SeanMoran3.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and our guest, Mike from Singapore. Mike, would you like to begin the comments, sir?
Everything going as a pre-planned, you know, everything happening in UK, it will happen USA, whatever, I give you these two examples because it's more evident. Whatever happens in United States, it will happen in United Kingdom because, you know, we are not separate kind of from each other. But, you know, it's just, this new world order that everybody talking, at the end, nobody knows exactly what the real new world order is. I mean, new world order of NATO, how it will look, new world order of USA, NATO, or USA only, how it will look, or new world order of Canada, new world order of Russia, China, or India, or the new world order of Ayatollah, how it's going to look like. Mm. I mean, people talk about it, but they don't have the correct concept. What exactly they are talking about? What would be if, imagine that live under a new world order of XYZ country, for example. And that is the biggest...
Very impressive. You don't have any comments in mind. I think it would be, if a new world order takes effect, whether it's, you know, a global thing or... Russia, China, whatever, you know, their new world order, there's going to be conflict, whatever, because what's happening there that goes against everything we believe. Freedom-loving people are not going to put up with no type of new world order. That's when you have conflict, and it doesn't matter whether it's Russia, it's China, whoever it might be, but all the time we see this moving forward. Now, people like myself and people like Dave and people like yourself, we can see what's happening. We can see, and most of us, we quietly go about our business, talking about it on our radio show, of we are very wised up what's going on. We're watching very closely. Whatever they do, we're following very closely. And don't under it. I'm saying this to the globalists out there, to the new world orderists out there. Don't underestimate the people. Do not underestimate us, the people. Because if you unload something upon us, the people, we outnumber you by millions of one. So you do that, you're bringing down your own downfall, down to you. And with that, let me pass it back to Dave.
All right, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is the same sort of thing that, again, they did to Nigel Farage and to other people that they did to the Freedom Truckers in Canada. you know, with the debanking and everything like that. As you said, Mike, this is about pre-planning. It's about control. It's about controlling people through financial institutions and things of that nature. If we don't like what you have to say or what you think or something of that nature, well, we're just going to take away your ability to live a normal life. And as you say, Mike, if whatever happens with whosoever New World Order it is, it could be the one in Davos, which we have final thing about, which I'll play in a few minutes, or it can come out of Red China, or it can come out of Tehran. It doesn't matter. The one thing that we know is whoever's on top, the rest of us are going to be on the bottom. And as Jeff said, that's a recipe for disaster, beginning with for us, but it will end with disaster for whoever thinks they can bring on a new world order if they think that it will last forever. And Mike, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, sir, David. You know, the question is, AI has come. AI is control everything, pretty much. And, no more freedom has left, really, for anybody, individuals. And they say, well, it's good. AI tomorrow bring, then tomorrow they bring AI 2, AI 3. Robot cops, robots, everything. So all the cars are not pretty much going to be self-driving from 2027, something like that. And no more gas cars from 2030. So it's going to impact our lives one way and another. So we will not have a cars. And if you have a car from 2027, everything is monitored. So even, you cannot go 5 miles over the speed because your car wouldn't speed up. Even if you want to, they know the speed zone of every section in the road or highways or freeways or, expressways. So yeah. Basically, you will be probably late at work, or two times people go late, they're fired anyway. So everything they built is will go down the drain. So it's chaos coming. I'm telling you, everybody, that there is not going to be an order anymore. Is going to be chaos into the chaos into the chaos. But because it comes gradually, it's like a frog. The frog, if you put it into the mild hot water, it stays. And then slowly you put it more warmer. The frog has to do just to jump, but we wouldn't jump. We would stay there until we fried with the we cooked with the hot water.
Way you put that, I like that, Mike. Yeah, I agree with what you said there. At the same time, Dave, I wanted to say this because when you both been talking, I've been thinking this. Are we heading towards Mad Max, maybe 3 or whatever it might be? Are we heading for them times? And I'm going to pass it to Dave because I know you're ready to come in there, brother. But is this a situation that we could be heading towards them times, Dave?
Well, I don't know, Jeff. All I do know is that the very people that have the power to stop a lot of the calamities that Mike is talking about and others have talked about aren't doing it. They're not, they control the levers of power, and they're pulling them, but they're not pulling them in the right direction. And at the same time, they're building themselves all of these, again, all of these elaborate underground little bunkers for themselves, and some of them aren't so little, so that they and their toadies can be comfortable when whatever calamity happens to come, they'll just jet off to those things and leave the rest of us to burn or whatever. So the best thing, again, that we can do is recognize the evil when it comes out and point it out and just let our leaders know, look, guys, you know, whatever you're planning, it's not going to work. It may work for a year or two for you, but once that year or two is over with, you won't be able to do without people. And one of the things, and I want to say this to the globalists out there and to their little wieners that listen to our programs and report to their masters, Jeff was right. The globalists, the big billionaires and their toadies need us way, way more than we need them. And fellas, I'm ready to play this last item that we have for our program. But before that, I'm going to throw it over to Mike.
Absolutely. We are all in agreement that many new world order comes and goes. I mean, any new world order who comes and make establishment for the global world, it may not and will not last long, because it's not for the people of the world. It's for the, you see right now, is the government of cooperation, for the corporation, for benefit of corporation. Whenever that was changed and become government of people, by the people, for the people of the world, then we may think about it, that is going to the right path. Otherwise, there is no chance.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Not Mike, I really appreciate the last words you had to say, and I think Dave did. We're very well said, brother. And with that, Dave, let me pass it over to you for our last segment. That's you, Dave.
All right. Now, fellas, I'm going to play this one last one, because Mike spoke about the New World Order, and part of it is all of this global warming nonsense that's going on, that is just one more tool that these people are trying to use to control others. And this last one is really amazeballs, as some might put it. Give this one a listen. This is just over 4 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Davos speaker demands international criminal court prosecute ecocide, punish farmers alongside war criminals, by Kurt Vindelka on January 17, 2024. The International Criminal Court should add ecocide to its brief alongside genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes to criminalize the side effects of farming, fishing and energy production, a green activist argued during the annual World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, Switzerland. Greta Thunberg, ally and CEO of Stop Ecocide International JoJo, made a demand during a WEF Davos panel dubbed Where Nature Meets Conflict on Tuesday that a new international criminal category of ecocide to prevent the mass damage and destruction of nature. Meta, who co-founded Stop Ecocide in 2017 alongside the late green legal activist Polly Higgins, said at the Globalist World Economic Forum meeting, "What our organization and other collaborators aim to do is to have this recognized legally as a serious crime, because one of the issues that pervades this discussion is that we have a culturally ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people and property. While proponents of the legislation have often pointed to disasters such as oil spills and nuclear meltdowns, Meta suggested that ecocide could be extended to include necessary functions of humanity such as agriculture and energy production. If you are campaigning for human rights, at least you know mass murder, torture, all of these things are serious crimes, but there is no equivalent in environmental space. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves a specific intent, with ecocide what we see is what people are trying to do as business, is to farm, is fish, is produce energy, but what is missing is the awareness and the conscience of the side effects, around the collateral damage that happens with that," the green activist said. Meta argued that creating the criminal category of ecocide would steer individuals, businesses, and governments around the world in a healthier direction, presumably out of concern of facing prosecution at the International Criminal Court and potentially lengthy prison sentences. The green activist has previously explained, "One can envisage, for example, once the law is in place, that a decision that leads to a new coal mine or a decision that leads to the opening of new fossil fuel projects will potentially have to be really seriously rethought. Last year, the European Parliament voted in favor of backing draft legislation to recognize ecocide as a crime, but it has yet to be voted into EU law. However, Currently, 11 nations around the world have codified the concept into their criminal codes, including Vietnam, Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Belarus, Georgia, Ukraine, Moldova, Armenia, and France. A further 27 countries, including some EU member states, are actively considering following suit, according to Stop Ecocide International. A landmark case currently being built by Ukraine, which plans to launch legal proceedings against Russia at the International Criminal Court over environmental damage as a result of Moscow's invasion of the country. Activists hope that such a case could bolster the legal grounding for ecocide to be recognized as an international crime. The concept has drawn pushback, however, with legal experts questioning the ability of prosecutors to be able to determine which individuals are actually to blame for man-made disasters, given that they are often the result of numerous people across international borders. Determining blame for disasters supposedly sparked by allegedly man-made climate change would therefore be even more difficult to prosecute. Maida's arguments at the WEF also drew criticism on social media, with Australian Senator Malcolm Roberts saying, "This is what control freaks do, they invent new words, control the language, and stop debate." Follow Kurt Sindulka on X, follow at Kurt Sindulka or email to sindulka@breitbart.com.
And this is where I would play the cuckoo clock sound effect if we had one. Welcome back to the Ingrid Smedley Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and Mike, our guest. Mike, your views, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. First of all, today, for example, in the United States, Bill Gates bought, purchased pretty much majority of land in Oregon, Texas, and many other states. And also other countries like such as China and hostile country, for example, Iran, has bought a lot of land in the United States. So I'm not sure why, I mean, right now, American citizen wants to buy a piece of land and put, go there and live in peace and love and harmony. There's not availability, or it will be huge down payment and price. So really nobody can afford to purchase home anymore in United States, or there is lack of land because these people, they bought everything or bought all the apartments or houses, so nobody else. I mean, anybody cannot go say, okay, I pay, suppose, $100,000. I bet on it so I can get the house. No, the same house that is supposed to be $100,000 now it goes for $800,000. You know, when you take purchase options from humanity or from the country, the people's country, that's it. The country is done deal. And not wonder, they made a movie called Civil War II, and you can watch it, the 24, about a minute of it on the YouTube. Just put Civil War II movie, and it's coming on April to all over globe. So right now with things happening in Texas and 700,000 truckers, Army of God, going to go to there. So is this predictive programming? You decide for us, please. Thank you.
Good point. Good points, Mark. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say ecocide, a new word, especially the Greens are putting it. This woman sounds totally wacko, Dave. I don't know if you agree with me. But I mean, they just invent new words all the time. I think we're going to get on it. But I just find it's just Looney Tunes special and extra. It just, that's the way it comes. And I know it come across the same as yourself, Dave. It's just, we've got some very strange people in our world who look at the world in a totally different way that we do. You know, we look at it as a real world. He's looking at it through, I don't know, they're crazy ideas. And of course we know that they never succeed. These Greens never succeed what they're trying to do. it doesn't make sense to the rest of us who live on this planet. And that's all I want to say, Dave. As I say, tonight, I've got to admit, it's been lovely to have Mike join us as well this evening. That's all I want to say. She just come across as a wacky, typical, them type of people. And I don't mean to stereotype, but they mostly are. Back to you, Dave.
Right. And you know what, Jeff and Mike and listeners, we actually did have one of those sound effects. Well, there you go. I mean, and yeah, it's just a way of inventing new words to try and control people some other way. And yeah, she just comes across sounding like a nut job. I mean, it almost doesn't matter what your political stripe is. When people come out with that kind of just idiocy, you have to look at them askance and wonder what planet they're living on. I mean, people just want to live their lives, and they're not they actually do consider human beings' lives to be more important than, say, the life of a turtle or something of that nature. Now, that doesn't mean that we want to trash the planet and make it so that people can't live here. But at the same time, if someone wants to open, for instance, a coal mine and, you know, mine that coal so the people can have electricity and things of that nature, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we listened to this woman, we'd all still be living in trees, picking fleas off of each other.
Absolutely.
Well done, sir. Yeah. Well done.
So that's it. Mike, do you have anything to add in before we close the show down, my friend?
Yes, I'm giving you, hopefully maybe you can have more shows if the situation in the United States gets very hot and hotter in coming 48 to 72 hours. So I hope you guys play some shows. So I keep checking time to time. Hopefully we can catch you guys in the same time zone. It would be great because situation in the United States, if it goes down, the whole country will go down. So, I mean, we ask everybody, you know, just have enough food and water regardless, because if, you know, this continues and become like a Canadian, you know, the Prime Minister in Canada that caused martial law and fought with the truckers at that time for the COVID-19. So in this, it will be very, very, very bloody, you know, because American people are fed up that they don't have a borderline. American citizens are fed up that American citizens are becoming homeless and more worst condition with inflation, with everything else. But then those people keep coming and get everything, and we American citizens don't get any piece of pie, and that's the biggest problem. Nice talking to you both.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you'd like to make a point, the scenario that you talk about, Mike, I'm also, as Dave's known me a long time, I'm a born optimist. Even though things look gloomy and dark, I believe that fortune will pull us through. Whatever, you know, I've got to have that, because that's how we survive in a world as dangerous and as precarious as this. But at the same time, in not too many months away, there's going to be a new sheriff in town, and his name is Donald J. Trump. Now, he's going to be the new sheriff, and you will see, God willing, that the world survives until he's brought into office, because there's going to be some serious changes. And I have faith that that's what's going to come to pass. I'd like to pass it back to Dave for his comment of what I've just said there. I do believe, really honestly, I do believe there's going to be a new sheriff in town. Back to you, Dave.
Well, what I believe is that on first Tuesday, November, I'm going to go and vote, because that I'm going to cash that check that was written to me by generations of Americans who fought and died in wars. And, yeah, I'm going to honor them by going out and voting. Do I think the left is going to try and cheat? No, I think the left is definitely going to cheat a lot. And it is incumbent on my fellow citizens to still go out and vote. Don't make it easy for them, okay? And don't give up. Don't punk out because you think they're going to cheat and you're going to be robbed of your vote. Do it anyway. Don't go down like a punk, okay? Go down like a fighter. Go down swinging. And go out and, as Mike says, go out and live your best life and do your thing. All right, Jeff, I'm going to throw it back to you, buddy. But the jam is in the studio. They're, you know, they're flicking peanuts at you. You know, you got to start dodging, man.
Man, it's been pretty good, actually. I've had one peanut, which I caught in my mouth at the time. That was a good one. I like that.
Nice.
I just like to say, what you just said then, Dave, don't forget, we've got the very old slogan of ours, no surrender, ever. We will never surrender to the tyrants out there, to ever what new world order might come around. We will never surrender. And we will go down fighting. You know, that's who we are. We'll never give in, ever. That's all I wanted to say, Dave. Mike, as I say, it's been... I hope you come back next week, Mike.
Yeah, I do my best. Because right now it's almost 6 o'clock Monday here in Singapore. So, but I have to be ready pretty much soon to go work. But yeah, I will do my best to be present, and it will be my pleasure to be in your show again. And I appreciate both of you guys, Jeff and Dave. God bless you.
Have a blessed week, Mike.
Yes,
thank you.
Right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, my friend.
All right. Well, hey, Jeff, I just want to remind everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times there are Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. Eastern in the United States, and then at 6 a.m. in the U.K. And New to You programs come out on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that is 5 a.m. in the U.K. And I want to say to all the foot soldiers, the angels, all of the free thinkers out there, everyone who knows the way to be, the way to survive, be prosperous, be blessed, and always remember, no surrender ever. Jeff, the jam is ready. Are you? And thanks,
yes,
baby, for being here.
Take it away, lads.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody. God bless.
You might say my life's worth a great happy life I've got. People might say that I should strive for more.
Thanks for being with me.
I'm so happy I got to the point things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money to cost than the mine. If I need you to test the spark on its prime, then the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be giving machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. My head explodes. I turn on.
thanks a lot, guys, and we'll see you again next week. Just one thing before I close down the show for this evening, Dave, and whoever listening, Bigfoot has said in his last couple of comments, AI cops, and he says, I call those Cylons, and I understand that, and so do you, Dave. Remember the way it was. And Bigfoot also goes on to say, thanks, good night, Jeff and Agador, and good night to you, brother. It was good to see you as well this evening. All I want to say now is thank you, everybody that's been listening in to our show this evening, and those that haven't, who'll be maybe catching up tomorrow on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as myself, Dave, and we had a great guest, Mike. And Mike, as I say, is from Singapore, so, you know, we've got different ways of thoughts and the way we talk, but Mike was a great guest this evening. But anyway, all I've got to say is we'll be back again next week. Hopefully, we'll get to hear the demonstration that Tommy done yesterday, sort of the Rape of Britain, Part 5. Myself and Dave are looking very closely at that, and hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be able to show it next week, God willing. But that's all I want to say for this evening. All I've got to do now is say this is the English Defence League radio show signing off tonight, and we'll see you again next week. Good night, God bless you all, and take care, stay safe, and always be vigilant. Good night, guys. Good night, Dave. Cheers, buddy.
Something for our American listeners, which they are the second biggest audience that Jeff has. All right. There's a warrior in our country that needs assistance, and the assistance he needs is big time assistance. I don't think we've never had an appeal like this on Jeff's show, but we're going to do it this time. The gentleman that I'm referring to is Brian Flowers. Now, he ran for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District of Mississippi two times against Benny Thompson, the Democrat who is in charge of the January 6th committee, in our Congress. The election was set to be won by Brian Flowers in the last time, but it was basically stolen from him, but that has not kept Brian Flowers from still being a warrior for the people. I think Jeff summed it up when we discussed this earlier. He's one of us. He's one of the people, and he's not with this World Economic Forum crowd or any of these other creeps. But Brian, and Brian, by the way, has three girls. From the teens on down to about maybe 8 years old, and a wife, and a regular job. He is a true warrior who was willing to go into the snake pit of Washington, D.C. and do battle for us. And he is still willing to do that, but at this point, he needs help. Brian is suffering from a rare genetic disease called PKD. Now, this is what's known as an orphan disease. In other words, it's one of those diseases that the pharmaceutical companies don't think that it's profitable enough to try and find cures for and things. Basically, his kidneys are now about the size of an American football. And for you guys in the UK, that's about two-thirds the size of one of your footballs. His kidney function is down below the 20% mark, and he needs a kidney transplant. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to, clutch the pearls and things over that, but for somebody here in the United States who wants to help out a warrior, there is an opportunity to do that. There are two things you can do to find information on this. And now, if you want to find out Brian's whole story about this, basically, go to the TECN.TV Rumble page and you're going to see a program in there. Now, remember, you can get to the TECN.TV Rumble page off of the link that is in our show page. Okay, the show you want to look for, it'll give you all the information, is TECN.TV, A Patriot Needs a Hero, Brian Flowers, PKDO, and A Need for a Kidney. That's where you'll go if you want to get the entire story. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about the orphan disease PKD, and you'll also get other information about how this is affecting a warrior in the United States. Now, if you want to call directly and find out how you can donate a kidney or just find out information about it, you can go to, and I promise you guys, this link is shorter. So, https://ummc.donorscreen.org/register/now. And you can also make a phone call to find out about this information. Area code 601-984-5065. That's area code 601-984-5065. And you'll get some options in there. And the option you want is the live donor option. This is a man who was willing and is still willing to fight for you and fight for our freedoms and liberties. And it's a big ask. It's a huge ask. But, hey, there it is if you want to help. You guys can help monetarily by going to Brian Flowers' GoFundMe page. And the link to that is https://gofund.me/2D7E8849. And the name of the page is Expenses Due to a Kidney Transplant. And this is just to help Brian's family out with the expenses that they are going to incur while Brian is going to be under constant kidney dialysis. So this is very important. And if you want to help, whatever you can do, you don't have to, you know, give $1,000 or whatever, but whatever you can do to help financially will be very vastly appreciated. Without Jeff's permission, Blog Talk Radio has begun to put advertising after Jeff's programs. He has not authorized this, given permission for it, been paid anything for it, or anything of that nature. So this is our advice to you. Once our program is over, this will be the last thing that you hear. And then maybe about 5, 6, 7 seconds later, they'll blare in their advertising. Whatever the ad is for, if it's a service, don't use it. And if it's a product, don't buy it because Jeff hasn't authorized it.
Yes.
We thank you very much for listening to Jeff's program. And we appreciate it when you listen all the way to the end. But if you hear the commercials, you know Jeff doesn't authorize it.
I just want to let our listeners know that I've never been a one for wanting to make any money on what I do with this program. I've done it because I needed to do it. I'm a patriot. I love my country. And I like doing what I've always done for many, many years now. So I don't need adverts. I don't need to be backed up. I back my own self up. And with Dave and myself and all our people that we get in chat, I don't want no broadcast and no advertising because that's not what I'm all about. You want to hear the truth from myself and Dave. You don't need to hear certain adverts coming on, advertising, isn't it? Because that's not what me and Dave are about. So I just wanted to give you an heads up, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't tell them they could do it. I just did it. So I just give you an heads up on that. And Dave's already told you what to do.